Warning. In this episode of Bad for Business, our host, Jerry Ferrara, starts off in a very grumpy mood. I mean, he is being a real But thanks to all of your wonderful Facebook and Twitter questions, we slowly turn his mood back around and we get the fun, loving host that Jerry is. Thank you for all your support. We love doing this. Now, on with the show.
Bad for Business.
You think that's a good title?
The greatest I've ever seen in my whole brain. No, I mean my whole life.
Hi, it's Dan Patrick. It's time for another edition of Bad for Business Podcast with my buddy, Jerry Farrar.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to an episode of Bad for Business with Jerry Ferrara. This episode, I'm going to try to be calm. This episode, I'm going to force myself to take some deep breaths. I'm going to try to remain in a positive spirit. Joining me each and every week for maybe some of this podcast, we don't know if she's going to talk to us or not really much,
is talking mood today.
Brianne Racano. Brie, how you doing?
I'm all right, Jerry.
Now, let's tell everybody where we are. Where are we, Brie?
New York.
We are in New York City. Actually, not New York City. We are in a borough. I won't say which, in case of any of you maniacs want to come stalk me. I am in my mom's basement doing this podcast right now, spending some quality family time. I sound so miserable because I've lived in Southern California now for 15 years. And look, guys, New York is the greatest city on the face of the earth. I was born and raised here. I love New York. There's no place like it. But probably the worst month to be in New York, I would say, is the month of February. And it's bittersweet because I am fortunate enough to be here working. Thank the Lord. I am doing some episodes of the new show. It's not really a new show. Season 2 of the Starz show Power. Great show. I really enjoyed the first season. I tried to work on season 1 of the show. Didn't work out with some scheduling, and they were nice enough to write me a really great role. And so I'm here going back and forth for that. So I'm grateful to be here for work. But, you know, I've had a week off, and you would think, oh, a week off in New York City. Isn't that a great idea? Well, it's been snowing every day for the most part. I think last night, what was it, Brie?
It was like 1 degree.
I had like my niece and nephew over hanging out, and then I like walked everyone outside. I only had like a hoodie on, and I damn near peed my pants just to stay warm because it was 1 degree. And again, I've probably been in LA too long now, and I know everyone's going to text and tweet whatever. Jerry, you're such a pussy. You gone soft with your West Coast. You know what? Yes. Yes, I have. You know what? I lived 20 years in New York, and I froze my ass off in the winter for 20 years. Excuse me if it drives me a little nuts to look at the weather on my iPhone and see that it's 4 degrees here and 74, right where my home is. Sorry if that bothers me. Sorry if that makes me a little dark. You want to know what else? It gets dark at like 4:18 p.m. over here. That also bothers me. So I'm a little aggravated right now. Because of the weather, we're also now having a hard time getting flights back to sunny California. Do I sound like a bitch right now, Brie? Like, do I sound like I'm being a baby? Like, oh, poor guy. Oh, you had to go to New York to work on a TV show. Oh, poor you. It's cold outside. Is that what it sounds like? Am I being a baby? Because I feel like I'm being a baby.
You're just venting.
This is the first time I've ever done this on this podcast. I vented about my anger at basketball, that I know, but I've usually kept a pretty funny spin on. This is the first time I'm using this forum to be angry and mean.
But you're just having a moment because you've been pretty happy and fun with your family while we've been here. So you're just having a moment.
I just want to go outside without having to put on 19 layers of clothes, and I just want to be able to not have to like start the car 20 minutes before I want to leave so I don't shiver like a chihuahua who just got out of a bathtub when I'm trying to drive. It's just interesting. And you know what else I've noticed? Everyone else here, for the most part, is a little bummed out. Don't get me wrong. My family's in good spirits. I have a very fun, loving, pretty easygoing family. The winter, this time of year, the kids get stir crazy. My mom gets a little stir crazy. Everyone, because you'd be forced to stay in the house. Everyone, it's kind of like, I don't know, it's a little bit of a bummer. So I needed to vent that out. I think my last day on the show, Power, is this week, and then I will be back in Southern California where you guys can go back to hearing my my California voice. So again, not being a bitch, just venting, but I'm done shoveling snow. I slipped literally 3 times in 2 weeks where I almost tore my ACL. And that's the last thing I need, is to injure myself while walking in the streets of Manhattan. That would be bad. Also, in case you haven't guessed, there's no guest on this week's podcast because not a lot of people want to leave their house when it's this cold. You know, I was thinking maybe, oh, I know Michael Ealy's here. Maybe I get Michael Ealy. I know Michael Strahan's here. Michael Strahan's a friend. Maybe I get Mike. You know what? Nobody really wants to leave their house.
We should get both of them.
Yeah, you know what? We're going to have to come back in late spring because nobody really wants to do anything when it's freezing cold. And the other thing, too, like I woke up today, I've been pretty decent going to the gym, trying to stay in shape because I'm eating my mom's cooking, which is phenomenal. I was going to go to the gym at noon today, and I decided because it was so cold and I didn't feel like going outside in shorts and a hoodie to go work out, I traded that in for some French fries at my favorite local diner. So do you see the trade? Like 45 minutes of cardio and some weights, or curly fries with cheese and a side of brown gravy? I chose that. So there's also that. I put it out there on Twitter and Facebook. And then if you're not following us on all that good stuff and you're just joining us without following us, it's at B4B Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. And it's Bad for Business with Jerry Ferrara on Facebook, or just me, Jerry Ferrara, on Facebook. I asked you guys for some questions, being that we can't get a guest. And then I saw the questions and I said, you know what? These are actually good questions that deserve their own podcast. So I promise I'm going to try to I'm going to try and get my mood a little better. Bri, how are you feeling?
I'm fine.
Are you really fine?
I'm fine. I'm great.
Are you really fine?
Are you trying to bring out some...
I'm trying to get the truth. Let the record show. Also, I'm in my mom's basement, and everything and anything that you may want has some sort of Entourage insignia on it. I'm drinking out of an Entourage coffee cup, which if I were to do in public, many of you would probably say I'm a douchebag. Mm-hmm. But in the privacy of my mom's home, it's the only coffee mugs she has are ones that say Entourage on them. So thank you, Mom. All right.
Got a lot of questions here.
Should I get into it? All right, guys. I'm literally going to give you a shout out. I'm going to read them right from Twitter. Some I'll spend a little while on, and some I will just answer quickly and move on. But let's go. Let me pull it up. Okay. Here we go. All right. I'm just going to try to go in order. Shane Dungan. Dungan. Shane Dungan. At Shane underscore D-U-N-G-A-N 4-L. All right. Living in L.A. now. What's the one thing you miss most about New York City, Northeast in general? Well, you know what, Shane? It certainly isn't the winter. If I had to pick, what I would say, besides the obvious, which is my family and my friends that I grew up with, I miss New York sports more than anything. I miss going to Yankee games, and even though the Knicks are terrible, Knick games. I miss New York sports. All right. That's all you get. Jake Goldberg. Jake's written us before at JakeGold10. If you had to live out your life as a minor character in a TV show, not a main character, which would you pick? To be fair, so Breaking Bad, which I was late to the party on, but now I finished recently and I'm obsessed with, is... And Gus. Is Gus the chicken man, Polos Hermanos, would you consider him a minor character, Bri, or was he like a major character on Breaking Bad? Because he wasn't like obviously Walter White or Jesse Pinkman, but after those two and Hank, he was the next guy you thought of. Would he be considered a minor character on the TV show? Well, we need to go smaller than that.
So is this something you're picking
he's
to
saying,
play at?
Did you hear the question? If you had to live out your life as a minor character in a
TV.
So
it's
not even the play. It's literally like
Gus?
Never mind.
I might have an issue with that.
What? He was the head of a drug empire.
Yeah, he also, I don't want to, spoiler alert.
He also killed motherfuckers.
He also.
Wow, the spoiler alert. He just ruined the whole show. Okay, you know what? Interesting.
Mine would be someone on Newsroom.
You're such a nerd. You know who I would pick? I would go way, way back to Three's Company. I think I'd pick Larry from Three's Company. You know what? Single guy, had a nice apartment underneath, two cute girls and his best friend, had a pretty funny landlord and Mr. Roper and Mr. Furley, great bar on his street, the local Regal Beagle, great place to go hang out and chase chicks and drink. I think that show was set in like Venice or like Santa Monica. I know it was like beach property. So basically, Larry on Three's Company has a beachfront apartment with two hot chicks living upstairs from him and his best friend. And he was a single guy. I think he sold cars. I think he was a used car salesman. I would go Larry. Larry, Three's Company. Do you, anyone come to mind for you, girl?
I told you, Newsroom.
But a specific? Remember, it's minor. Oh. So you can't say Olivia Munn's character because I think she was major. All right, moving on from you. You didn't answer quick enough. Sorry. I'm telling you, we're not fucking around on this podcast, okay? Gosh. I have anger. I need to feel... the goal is I want to be... By the time this podcast is over, I want to sound like my old self. That's what I'm doing. Okay. Next question. It's a sports question, Bree, so you could take a nap. Joe Allison, at Joe_Allison1991. Guys, also, too, the underscores. I had one. If you can get rid of them, makes it a lot easier. The underscores are a pain in the ass. It's the truth. Salty. All right, Joe Allison asks, who should the Knicks pursue this coming free agency? All right, Joe. First and foremost, they need a lot of help. We just recently said goodbye to Amari Stoudemire on a buyout, which was the right thing to do. If he only has limited time left, so let him go play for a championship. Plus, it helps us going forward in the future, saves us a little bit of money, I believe. So saying goodbye to Amari. Obviously, the big names out there will be Marc Gasol, will be Goran Dragic, will be LaMarcus Aldridge, who's already saying he wants to stay in Portland. If I look around the NBA, and I've fallen off. I used to know a lot about the NBA. I don't know nearly as much as I used to. But everyone has their superstar, of course. And technically, in New York, we have our superstar. We have Carmelo Anthony. And you could look at the Cavs. They have LeBron. Duh. You could look at Oklahoma City. They have Durant and so on and so forth. But if you really look at most of the good NBA teams, specifically in the West, but even in the East, what do they all really have in common? A pretty dominant, at their position, point guard. You know, yes, Oklahoma City has Kevin Durant. They also have Russell Westbrook. The Spurs, who are still arguably the most balanced and well-coached and have the most team chemistry, Tony Parker, still will never be nothing to sneeze at. Clippers have Chris Paul. Cavs, even though they have LeBron, which is more than enough, they have Kyrie. The Raptors, playing great basketball. Kyle Lowry is a beast. You know, there's maybe, what, one or two teams? Like, I look at the Rockets, you know. Beverly is a tough-nosed defender, but doesn't really, I guess, qualify as, like, a dominant point guard. You know, Portland has Lillard. So, if I were the Knicks, the highest priority on my list would be a point guard. And even if you look back to the last time the Knicks were good 2 years ago when they had the three seed, you know, not that Jason Kidd was by any stretch a dominant point guard, but they had a nice rotation of Jason Kidd, Felton, and Jason Kidd at least knows how to run the offense, could knock down the three, and when they started going through long droughts of not scoring and bad plays, Kidd kind of steadied the ship, along with Carmelo Anthony, obviously. So, and it, to me, it doesn't have to be a Russell Westbrook type point guard that you need. I mean, I'd love Russell Westbrook. I'd trade the whole team for Russell Westbrook if I could right now, but Kyle Lowry would have been an amazing fit. I know for a while there was talks, maybe it was at like last year's trade deadline, of the Knicks going after like Teague. And man, would that have been impressive to have Jeff Teague right now. And even just look at the All-Star game not that long ago, a couple of days ago. You know, you're seeing all those point guards run around and just bury three at John Wall, and just seeing the point guards dunk and shoot threes and get rebounds. It's just, I mean, Golden State's still arguably playing better than anybody else, and they have the most formidable backcourt in the league. So to answer your question, Joe, we need a friggin' point guard. We've needed a point guard for the longest time. I really can't remember the last time I was excited about the Knicks point guard position. When Stoudemire first came here and we had a much trimmer, in-shape Raymond Felton, that 1-2 punch after we traded the whole team for Carmelo Anthony was probably the last time we had sufficient point guard play. Jason Kidd did a good job, but he was just on his last leg. So there you go. Next question, Christian Schmid at C Schmid 10. Are there any other TV shows that you wish you were a part of? And that's an easy one to answer, Christian. There are many. I am very proud of having been a part of Entourage for all those years, but just being a fan of movies and, of course, television. I mean, obviously, I spoke of Breaking Bad. The Sopranos is now my number one show. My shows right now go Sopranos, number one, Breaking Bad, number two, but basically tied. I mean, they're separated by tenths of a point with The Wire, three. Friday Night Lights is up there for me. I've always been a big fan of that show. I just started House of Cards, but man, that's a damn good show to watch. That's a fun show. So I guess if I had to pick, it would be Sopranos would have been cool to be a part of, but I also would have seen myself as a good fit on Breaking Bad. Breed, do you have any show that you could be on? Like, what, Newsroom, would you say?
Newsroom. Political Animals.
Political Animals, that was short-lived.
I know, but I loved it. I was really upset.
So you want to be a part of a short-lived series?
No, but I wish it would have kept going. Okay. Or Breaking Bad or Sopranos.
I just asked you that because, what, you're on Instagram?
Yes,
so
I am.
I saw you, like, losing yourself in Instagram, and I just wanted to snap you out of it. Do I sound like I'm getting happier yet?
No.
Do I need, what do I need? Chocolate? Cookies?
More? A
That's
meatball.
The other thing.
You need
I'm
a meatball.
I'm stuffing my face like an animal. And I gain weight so fast and I give up so easily. It's insane. Do you have any questions for me, Brie?
No, I like our listeners' questions. Keep going.
Is the sound recording?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Jimmy G, at Sophia Jimmy G, wants to know, he says, talk me off the Yankee ledge, no Jeter, all A-Rod, I may jump. Don't jump, Jimmy, and here's why. I feel your pain. I am a Yankee fan.
Don't jump, Jimmy.
Is that a real song?
No.
Oh, I was about to say, I don't know that song. What is that, Zeppelin? Don't jump, Jimmy. Look, I've fallen off the Yankee ledge many a times, but I always catch myself before I hit the ground because, you know what? We're doing a lot of things wrong right now, and obviously life post Jeter is going to be very, very weird as a Yankee fan. So there's going to be, it's almost like a breakup. We were with Jeter for a very long time, and now he's seeing other people. So there's going to be an adjustment period where we have to get used to being alone. And then once we get used to that, things will start to feel normal again. The reason why I say don't jump is, you're a Yankee fan like me, they've given us a lot of joy all throughout the mid-90s and early 2000s, and they've been competitive up until 2009, basically. So you can't really jump. You got to be patient. We owe it to the Yankees to be patient. They always do their best to put us in position to win. I think they have to redo the formula. I really think they got to develop some young talent. And then, so thank you for that. And then this, the Ocho podcast, at the Ocho podcast, I guess is another podcast. They write us a lot here and there. He's asking what my favorite New York sports moment growing up in Brooklyn is. Well, the Yankees winning the World Series in 96 was tremendous. And that probably was it because I moved out of New York end of 99. The Rangers winning the Stanley Cup in 94 also really, really ranks up there for me. But I'll switch the question a little bit. One of my best or favorite sports moments was a game I was at. My friends and I went to the Dwight Gooden no-hitter, which I think was maybe in 96, against the Seattle Mariners. You know what? It wasn't 96. I think it was 94, actually. And no one even knew he was throwing a no-hitter till we looked up at the scoreboard in like the seventh inning. It was like, holy shit, Mariners don't have any hits. And then the whole crowd was hanging on every single pitch. And I almost gave up my ticket for that game. So I'm very, very glad I didn't. Thanks for that Ocho podcast. What's the matter, Bree?
Nothing.
Why are you looking at me?
No, I was just looking.
Do I sound better yet?
Yeah, you're getting there. You're getting there. Next question.
Is this going to be like the worst podcast ever because I sound like an angry fucker?
No.
It's coming along?
It's coming along.
All right. Brian at BMaze04. Pickup game breaks out on the hashtag entourage set. Pick your five. It's actually a funny question. I'm going to change the question a little bit because I'm going to look at it like, you know, all right, let's say I'm getting the pickup game. So my team, so say like I'm playing against Connolly's team. I'm basically going to try to like use anyone but the main guys. Because if I had to rank the main guys, Adrian doesn't make the team. He doesn't really play sports or know much about sports. Dylan may make the team. Dylan has some injuries. Dylan has two broken arms, two broken wrists. Connolly makes the team. Just on pure desire and will. Doug Allen could play. Steve Levinson can play. But if I'm just casting it, you know what? If I'm going outside the main guys, Reese Cuero played Billy Walsh. Solid six-footer. Lot of energy. His game emulates like a Dennis Rodman. Dom Lombardozzi played Dom. Dom's probably 5'11", maybe. I don't know. Big, strong guy. Not a finesse player, power player, intimidation factor. That would be like my Oakley-Mason combination. Who else is there? Obviously, I'm not going to use any athletes. Then I'd have to go Connolly. I'm going to incorporate the main five. I'd go Connolly, and I'll go Steve Levinson if he's up for the challenge, even though he plays a lot of tennis right now. Thank you for that. Heather Barber at Hunb, H-O-N-B, who is my favorite SNL character. I love SNL, always have, always will. I have to go back to when I was a kid, but Eddie Murphy as Buckwheat was just, that was like my first kind of revelation of Saturday Night Live, and just seeing it and staying up late to watch it, and I just thought it was the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. Is there a favorite SNL character or cast member?
I really want to watch Last Night.
Don't say Last Night because then you date the episode.
Well, the anniversary episode.
There you go. But I'd have to say Eddie Murphy, Buckwheat was just phenomenal. Let's see. Michael, I can't even pronounce his last name, so I'm just going to pronounce his Twitter. It's at BigGMike1031. Best all-time multiplayer video game from back in the day. My vote goes for 007 GoldenEye for a Nintendo 64. Change the game. Now, I recently put up a picture, a screen grab of GoldenEye that I actually robbed from Freddie Prinze Jr., who's a phenomenal gamer. And I agree with you, Michael. GoldenEye put everybody on to multiplayer shoot, just phenomenal. They did it. I think every game borrows from the theories of that. I don't know if Halo necessarily did, but what we used to do way before the intranet and all you kids using that popular internet is we did the system link, where a bunch of buddies would come over, we'd take like the TV from one of the bedrooms, put it in the kitchen, and someone would bring their Xbox, and then we linked the Xboxes together. So you could play on separate TVs. This is before the internet, youngsters out there. And we'd probably maybe have a doobie or two. And we'd play like Capture the Flag on Halo on separate TVs with our own teams. So I think GoldenEye.
What's your favorite video game now to play with me?
Well, Bree and I have been on a Wii U run of the Mario games. Or like, as you say, Mario.
Mario.
And Mario Kart's kind of cool, but yeah, and then we played Luigi World.
Oh my gosh.
Which is like a shortened version of Super Mario.
We got every coin in every.
We conquered that game in every single way.
I love that game.
Well, you know, they're coming out. Well, I don't know if it's out already. It might be behind on my video game news, but Mario Maker, where you could design your own boards. Levels, I'm sorry. Levels.
That sounds cool.
See, my generation calls a level
sounds
a board.
Sounds like a lot of work, though. I'd rather just play the game.
much.
You're so high maintenance. It's insane.
Stop taking your mood out on me.
Just kidding. Okay. Savada. I don't know if I'm definitely not saying that right. At Savada, where was your favorite place that you shot Entourage on the show or in the movie? Well, look, L.A. obviously was where we filmed the show primarily. L.A. is such a great location, so, and that's where I live, so that's what I want to say. But I guess you're talking about a on-location shoot. It was real fun to shoot in Vegas with the guys. I have some unbelievable memories from that. I also won a lot of money that trip. But I have to say it was the Sundance episode, only because I've never been to Sundance. And that was kind of the first time Entourage went on the road to shoot an episode. It was early in season two. We hadn't really ever gone anywhere besides LA, so that was like the first trip. So the first trip stands out to me. Stephen A2121 at Stephen A2121 wants to know favorite hip hop album from the 90s. That's so tough because 90s hip hop was so damn good. All of it. I mean, everything coming from Death Row, everything from Bad, but just Def Jam, just so much good. I mean, for me, probably stands out the most is, I guess it was Biggie. I guess it was Life After Death. Notorious B.I.G. If that was the exact name. I just remember like Sky Is the Limit and like 10 Crack Commandments. Oof. That was just, those songs were a movie. They were a story. Wild_life. That's his name, actually. At Brandon Verdu, V-E-R-D-U, that's your shout-out, wants to know, what's your favorite encounter with a pro sports athlete? And I've been actually waiting to tell this story on this podcast because it is very cool. And there's a story behind this. By the way, Brie, how am I doing, like, reading the shout-outs? Should I put a little more enthusiasm into it? Like, does it not sound like I'm doing our listeners a service? Well, my shout-outs, I'm like, Brandon Verdu.
I would be a little bit nicer to your
listeners.
So
if I was like, oh, at Brianne Ricano wants to know, you'd be like, hey, what the fuck? Why you put a little enthusiasm into it?
Yeah, they're the reasons why this keeps going.
I'm doing this podcast for them. It is helping me vent some steam, but like they're responsible for the content of today's show. So I'm going to try that again, all right? At Brandon Verdu wants to know, Jerry, what is your favorite encounter with a pro sports athlete? Now, I've been fortunate enough to meet a lot of my heroes, athletically speaking, through Entourage. We've had, Kevin Durant, Phil Mickelson, LeBron James, Tom Brady, Russell Wilson, just scores and scores and scores of athletes. So that has always been one of the perks of the show. But this one is actually not related to the Entourage shoot. It was last Christmas. I took my brother to a Knicks game, and we have a podcast with my brother that you guys either at this point will have heard already or will hear very, very soon. And my brother, not a sports guy, doesn't watch sports, his whole life's cars, doesn't even care about, like, couldn't name one player on the Knicks, only knew Derek Jeter on the Yankees, and only knows that one of the Mannings plays on the Giants. But I take him, and lucky enough, we had some courtside seats to the game. The Knicks were losing, so it's a lot easier to get those courtsides. And I had gotten tipped off earlier that night before we got to our seats that we were going to be seated next to James Dolan. For those of you who don't know, owner of the Knicks, opinionated owner of the Knicks, and not always a fan favorite owner of the Knicks. So we get in our seats, we're sitting there, and you know, it's a struggle. Knicks aren't playing well. Dolan comes down. My brother doesn't even know at this point. The fans start booing. And it also puts me in a pretty bad spot because now I can't, as a fan, like, scream against the Knicks when they make a boneheaded play. I can't be like, you guys suck. You don't want to. Technically, he's hosting me. It's his house. I'm sitting at his table by him. So I can't really bury them. So the Knicks aren't playing well. I have to kind of sit there and take it. But also at one point, my brother leaned over next to me and went, who the fuck is this guy? Why does the crowd keep booing him? I'm like, shut your mouth. That's the owner of the Knicks. He went, oh, God. So Now the third quarter ended. It's the commercial break before the fourth quarter, and a security guard taps me on the shoulder. It says, "Hey, Jerry, come with me." I went, "What?" He's like, "Come with me. Come with me." I look at my brother. I'm like, "Can I bring him?" He goes, "No. I can't bring my brother? No. Come with me now." I look to my brother and I say, "Aunt, if I'm not back in 15 minutes, tell Dolan or someone, call the cops. Something bad's happening." All right. I'm thinking I'm like walking with the security guard now. I'm like, "Can I ask where I'm going? Am I in trouble? Like, what's going on?" He's like, "No. Does somebody, somebody wants to meet you." And I stopped. And he looked at me and he's like, "Come on, let's go." I'm like, no, buddy. I don't like the way this is going. So you need to give me some information right now. Who wants to meet me and why?" He said, "I don't want to ruin the surprise. I know you're a Yankee fan, and this guy asked for you to come up and say hello to him and his family. It's a Yankee." So immediately, yeah, I get excited, but I'm also trying to think. I'm like, God, is it like current Yankee, old Yankee? Is it one of my favorites? Is it like someone who was on the Yankees maybe for a brief amount of time? He's like, "Well, he's up in one of the suites. You got to come." I'm like, "All right, now I'm committed to this," and I'm walking. And I'm still just trying to figure out who on earth, who? He said family, so I know it's not Jeter, because I know Jeter's not married, doesn't have any kids. But I said maybe, I don't know, maybe he's with his parents or something. He said family. So we're walking. And we start, sorry, I have a sip of coffee. And we go through like the bowels of Madison Square Garden. We're going through tunnels I've never saw before. We went through a kitchen like it was Goodfellas. And we finally get up to the suites and we open the door. And it was weird because like the suite was completely dark up until where the seats were for the game. And then there was light pouring in, so it was silhouetted. And I did see a couple of young kids run back and forth. And they looked like little monsters just like running. I couldn't really make out who was there. And then out of the shadows, walking with open arms toward me, Mariano Rivera. Bree, did you hear what I just said?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who Mariano Rivera is?
Mm-hmm.
The greatest closer in the history of baseball. One of the greatest Yankees to ever play in baseball. Came one of someone who was so instrumental in those joyous moments of the 90s I'm talking about. Came walking out. And open arms, gave me a hug and said, I wanted to meet you. My kids wanted to meet you. He said, "Do you mind if my kids get a photo with you?" I said, "Absolutely. If you don't mind, if I get a million photos with you." So we had a little photo shoot with the Riveras. Didn't overstay my welcome. Talked to him for a little bit. Told him I had some cool Mariano Rivera memorabilia that he even knew, that he had signed and wrote. I have this really great piece that's him walking off the field. Kevin Connolly has this as well. And he hand wrote all his postseason saves on it. And I remember, because he was still playing when I got that, that the person we got it from said, "Mariano says, if he gets any more postseason saves, you could send this back to him and he'll fill out the rest." Unfortunately, he didn't get any more postseason saves after that because the Yankees didn't make the playoffs in his final season. But so I just walk out of that suite floating on cloud nine. Like, I just met one of my heroes. I've had the chance to meet the captain, and now I just met the Sandman. And I get back to my seat. Dolan had already left halfway through the fourth quarter. I think Dolan left. The Knicks were getting killed, but I was smiling. I left my poor brother sitting there in a game that he knows nothing about by himself for 20 minutes. And he said, "What the fuck happened? Where'd you go?" I said, "Do you have any idea who I just met?" And he said, "No, who'd you meet?" I said, "Aunt, you have no idea who I just met." He said, tell me, who'd you meet?" I said, "Mariano freaking Rivera." He looked at me and went, "Who?" And I just shook my head. I said, "That's right. You have no, I couldn't even share in the glory of what just happened because he has no idea who Mariano Rivera is." So that was a very long answer for Brandon Verdue. Sorry about that, but hope you enjoyed it. How are we doing with time? Where are we at? I'm talking so much.
33 minutes.
I did 33 minutes by myself.
Mm-hmm.
Darian Roberts, at Darian Roberts, 35. "Have you ever got invited to play in the celebrity game for the NBA All-Star game? And if yes, why didn't you accept?" Well, now that you say it, Darian, yes, I was invited to play in this year's game. And then I decided not to because, you know what? I would like to play, and like every other person playing in that game, I'd like to go for game MVP. And it's already a predetermined notion that Kevin Hart, good friend of mine, Think Like a Man co-star, he basically win or lose or draw, no matter what his numbers are, will always win the MVP. So you know what? Why? I don't get it. I don't think I really need to do it. Brian Kasberg Jr. at BKaz Jr. wants to know, what would you give up in your own personal life in order for the Knicks to get LeBron James? I think that is a very good question. I can't ask Bree this question because her favorite team has LeBron James. I guess if I was to be realistic about it, like what, and obviously you can't say, oh, I'm going to give up a money thing. This almost has to be like Lent, where you like give up something for a year. So to get a, you know, to get something, because money doesn't really come. I guess I would be willing to like go without a car for a year to get LeBron James on the Knicks. Yeah. Does that sound unreasonable? Like if I was to make a deal with like an imaginary god of NBA who is like, if you want LeBron James, you have to give up something for 1 year. I think I could give up my car for a year to get LeBron. I think that's a fair, I don't think that's that bad of a.
So you're going to Uber everywhere?
Yeah, or walk. Or bum rides off of my girlfriend. Mm-hmm. I think we're about rounding out. I think those, I did skip over some questions. Randy at Roz 33 want to know who my favorite athlete was that was on Entourage. That's way too hard to pick. Obviously having LeBron on was great. I really gotta say maybe Tom Brady, also because my storyline was so entrenched in Tom Brady being on the show. So that was just a cool thing to play that I hated him. Really, really hard to pick a favorite athlete. You know, we have Mark Teixeira, Strahan, Amari. I mean, the list is ridiculous. All right, I guess that's the podcast for this week. We don't have any sponsors.
Do you want to look on Facebook at all?
I don't think there was anything on Facebook. Was there?
I think so.
Did you look?
Looking at it right now.
All right, I'll take a look at Facebook. You're right. We shouldn't ignore the people on Facebook who wrote us. We should... And also,
we'll
guys, here,
right?
You know what? Let me give everyone a little heads up, too. You know, it's the middle of February, end of February. As we go forward, the Entourage movie comes out June 5th. So, starting probably in like mid-April, I would say, but definitely all throughout May, I'm going to do my best to get all the Entourage guys on the show. I don't think I'll be able to get them all at the same time, but basically going to do like an Entourage month. You know, we're going to get Adrian. We're going to get Connolly. Someone asked, Bryce Prescott on Facebook asked, I'd like an update on when Kevin Dillon is coming on B4B. Kevin Dillon is probably like, he's like the holy grail of podcast guests. I don't think he's ever done one. Dillon obviously does press when he has to. I don't think Dillon's a pretty private guy, so I don't think you're he's not an easy get, and he has some amazing stories. Even while we were just shooting a couple of weeks ago, you know, Kevin Dillon was in a movie called Heaven Help Us, which if you haven't seen, I think he was only 17 years old. It's just a movie based on, you know, growing up in New York, like Catholic school kind of life. It just, I don't know, I associated with it because it was a little similar to how I grew up, and he's so good in the movie. And then if you look at Kevin Dillon's career, aside from Entourage, I mean, he was in Platoon, Best Picture nominee. I don't know, maybe he even won. I don't even know. He was in The Doors, Oliver Stone, Best Picture nominee. That also might have won. Just has had an illustrious career. We always talk, Connolly and I always talk about No Escape, which, you know, I don't know, just is a movie that ended up holding up after all these years. Like, if No Escape is on TV, I still got to put it on. I still got to watch it. And then he did a host of TV stuff and was on 24. And then he had a series that I actually was on called That's Life. And I think they did 50 episodes. And I think there was only one episode of That's Life that Kevin Dillon wasn't in. And that was the one episode I actually was in. And then, you know, he spent most of his early career doing these drama Best Picture things, and then Entourage comes along and it's a comedy. No one ever really saw Dillon do a lot of comedy, and he comes on and he gets nominated for 4 Emmys and 3 Golden Globes. So I asked Kevin Dillon, I said, I'll even come out to you. You won't even have to lift a finger. I'll bring this mobile equipment. Kevin Dillon is confirmed for the Bad for Business podcast. I don't have an exact date, but it will most likely be in the month of May. And then all throughout May, I will also get the other guys on the show. Anything else on Facebook? Think Like a Man. Robert Galvin wants to know any Think Like a Man random facts. Random facts? No, actually, nothing random.
Well, favorite behind the scenes moment.
Favorite behind the scenes moment of Entourage.
To the
The Kevin Connolly or the Doug Allen podcast. Is that what you were gonna say? Before I interrupted you?
Oh, I thought it was Think Like a Man stuff. It was Entourage stuff.
Why? What were we gonna say? Listen to Terrence?
Because you guys share some really good Think Like a Man stories.
I guess I'll tell a very old story that goes back to the early days. Right after the four of us got cast officially, you know, you have to test in front of the network, in front of HBO and all that. Once we all officially got the part and we're about maybe 2 weeks away or a week and a half away from shooting the pilot, you know, we have to work on chemistry. We're supposed to be friends for 20 years when the show starts. And chemistry, by the way, that's something that either happens or it doesn't. You don't necessarily have to love the people you work with to have chemistry, although it does help. We luckily had chemistry right away, but Mark Wahlberg, I guess, doing his producing job, you know, flew us all, the four of us, alongside him and some of his crew, to Vegas on a private jet, which I had never even sat in first class at that point. So my first experience with first class was a damn private jet. Flew us on the, I didn't know you like pull up to the wing of the plane and just hop right on. Flew us out there and we went to a fight. We went to Roy Jones Tarver 1 in Vegas. And this was the end of 2003. Took the four of us, went to the fight, went to dinner, had a real fun night out. Did some gambling the next day. And by the time we were on the flight back to LA, I guess you could say we had our chemistry. So there's a little behind-the-scenes story that I think has been out there for a while, but I don't think has been told in a very long time. So you'll get a lot of stories like this as the guys come on the show. And I think that's it from Facebook. Someone said, do you think there will be an Entourage 2? Look, in order for Entourage 2 to happen, everyone needs to go see Entourage 1 and support it. So that's first and foremost. I'm reading. I'm not doing anything shady, guys. I'm just reading these questions. Okay. That's it. I think that's going to be it from New York, Bree. I don't predict doing another podcast from New York in the month of February unless we get snowed in, and I don't even want to think that way. I'm going to knock on wood. Mm-hmm. Do you have anything you'd like to add?
See you later.
That's it. That's all you'd like to add.
Yes, Jerry.
Okay. Am I still picking on you?
Kind of.
Well, I'm really sorry. Especially, we had such a great couples therapy podcast not that long ago where we worked out some of our issues, and we always swore we would not bring them on this podcast, so I'm sorry.
Okay.
Did you take the language of love test?
I did.
I know you did. I was just saying that for the audience. Take the language of love test. Also follow Sarah Michael Novia. Smart, smart woman. Knows what she's talking about. All right, we gotta go to dinner with some family. Thank you guys for the questions. They truly made this episode work. Sorry for my bad attitude. I do feel better after having talked to all of you. We'll be back in LA this week. We'll definitely get some guests back on. The podcast is going to be stronger than ever. Thank you to everyone who supported it. And guys, if you like this podcast, share it. Every little bit does help. This is a small little operation over here. And the rating and reviewing of the episodes and sharing the links, that all makes us feel like you guys are really enjoying it and is going to make us work twice as hard. All of us, meaning Bree and I. Right? Did I hit all the points?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you, guys. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And like my mom says, right upstairs in her house that I am right now, bad for business was good for business today. See you soon, hopefully in sunny Los Angeles. When you see me rolling by, we'll be right back.
business.